Blog Talk Radio.
NASCAR weekend preview of Pocono and Memphis. Tonight we will be previewing the NASCAR Cup Series, the Xfinity Series, and the ARCA Menards Series, all at Pocono Raceway, along with the Can-Am Pro Series East at Memphis International Raceway. Joining me as co-host tonight is James Pickford, our NASCAR Next alumni. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be back on.
Well, we're happy to have you. Just to give you a little bit of a heads up, I've got a little bit of a sore throat that's kind of lingering here. I've got a full glass of water, and I think we'll be okay. But every once in a while, my voice does give out on me.
Understood.
Okay. All right, now let's go ahead and get into our first part of the show. During the first half hour, what we're going to do is we're going to give you updates from the Can-Am Pro Series West. They're not racing this weekend, but you know, along with that, we'll give the Can-Am Pro Series East preview at Memphis, and then we'll get into the ARCA Menards Series at Pocono Raceway. At 9 o'clock, we'll give some updates from the Gander Outdoor Truck Series. At 9:20, we get into the Xfinity Series at Pocono. And at 9:40, our preview will get into the NASCAR Cup Series at Pocono. 10 o'clock, we normally do our NASCAR Hot Topic sound-off, but as it turns out, neither Jay or Andy are available tonight, so we're just going to not do our NASCAR Hot Topic sound-off for tonight. So we'll close out the show at 10 o'clock tonight versus, at 10 o'clock tonight versus closing out at 10:30. So with that, James, let's go ahead and get into the Can-Am Pro Series East. West. That is not racing this weekend. Amazing run by Derek Krause in the Can-Am Pro Series West. He won the second twins race at South Boston, then went on to win both Tucson twin races just recently. So he is now the points leader in both the East and the West.
And yeah, it's pretty amazing. Statistics on just Derek Krause in general, Can-Am West and East. He's been working at the Can-Am series and just trying to get a little bit better each and every year, and it seems to be working out for him. This experience of just being in the series for this period of time now, with two wins on the West, two wins on the East, and then top tens in every single start except for one on an East race. I mean, it's a sight to see. I'm curious how he's gonna finish out the season, if anybody can, put up a contention for just such a strong competitor with Bill McAnally.
Yes, and along with that, if you look at his average start and average finish, his average start is 2.0. His average finish in the West is 2.8. That is also incredible that he's able to keep up that stat as well.
Yeah, and I mean, in a competitive series like the K&N series, that's just numbers that are unheard of. I mean, that means you're averaging a front row start every single time that you get in a vehicle, every single time that you get in a car and go out on track. You're pretty much going to average either a pole or on the front row. So, it's just really something to see. It's like Todd Gillen numbers from a few years ago.
It really is. And if you look at his same stats in the East, I mean, and in four starts, he's had four top tens, very similar to what you were saying in the West. The two wins, two top fives, but he's got an average start of 10.5 and an average finish of 4.2. But in the East, he's just 4 points out from the lead.
Yeah, and I mean, it's so close. Definitely the battle on the East side of things is close. And, you know, I mean, both West and East have just really close championship battles, but it looks like Derek Krause is in the running for both of those to be a champion, possibly another Bill McAnally West-East champion. That would be pretty amazing feat for that team.
Absolutely. We'll talk more about Derek, I guess, when we do the preview for Memphis. But going back to the West, he has in second place, 18 points out, is Trevor Huddleston and Jader Jones. So they're making it pretty interesting with their runs as well.
Yeah, and you know that the Bob Brancati 6 and 9 are always going to be fast every time they enter in a race. And, you know, Trevor with picking up one win shows that they have strength over the season. I know Jagger has been close. In a bunch of races, been able to lead some laps and get some experience as he gets into the number six car and, you know, has experience over that. And, you know, their numbers are really good too. You know, you show the consistency that Jagger has with both an average start and average finish of four. You know, Trevor Huddleston has a 4.8. So the biggest thing coming into the K&N West is, you know, you can't have mistakes. You have to be in the top 10 almost every single race throughout the entire year. Top five definitely have to be in contention every single race as well. So it's not an easy thing, and especially when you have a competitor like Krause that's racing against you in every single one of these races and puts a lot of pressure on those really good finishes. And it's going to be overall a very interesting play to see how the drivers, how the teams assess each one of the races with the way things are going. Are you racing for that win and possibly dropping down in positions, you know, and falling outside of the top five for a risky move? Or are those wins so important for those bonus points to get yourself an advancement into the championship, into the lead? Who's gonna do what? And at that point, it's just up in the air, and it's exciting to watch.
It absolutely is exciting to watch. And I always tell people, if you want to see great door-to-door racing, you've got to start watching these NASCAR CNN Pro Series races. They're fantastic. Now, also, something I don't think we've ever seen before, in fourth and fifth place in the West is Haley Deegan and Brittany Zamora. Oh, two females in the top five.
Yeah, and coming back with that, two female poles and a first female win starting off the season for Haley. That's
unbelievable.
I mean, I can't believe that, you know, first of all, I am surprised that it got to this period of time. You know, there's been a lot of females that have come into the K&N series and tried to get their first win. Some close, like when I was racing in the K&N series with Nicole Behart finishing second at Irwindale. There's been, and obviously, you have Kinsey Ruston that raced in the series for, you know, a good amount of time and was not able to pick up her win. And now you have Haley Deegan that comes in with Bill McAnally and is able to get the first win. And then also Brittany in the top five in points and also has a pole underneath her belt as well. I mean, you're showing a lot of strong, strong female competitors in the K&N series trying to break through here. And, you know, as we talked about the ARCA race, you have Haley going to Pocono and racing there. It's just going to be very interesting if they can gather up all this experience that they're taking from each series jumping around. Are they going to be able to come back in the championship? I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Absolutely. And they're only 5 points apart in points with Haley at 4:45 and Brittany Zamora at 4:50. So I've got a feeling we're going to see them kind of jockeying for position as the season continues. There's a lot to watch in this Can-Am Postseries West. Now, their next race is June 8th at Colorado Nationals, so fans will definitely want to mark that one on your calendar and make sure you get a chance to look at it, because all of these races are broadcast on fanschoice.tv. So you can actually see these races live in addition to watching them on the NBC Sports Network broadcast about a week later.
Yeah, and following up to the races coming in June, you also have the Sonoma race, and I'll tell you, that is one that all of these drivers in the, you know, the points aren't that far. I wouldn't even put Matt Levin out of contention here, only 31 points back. All of these drivers have Sonoma circled on their list because that is a huge points day for these drivers. I mean, all it takes is one mistake from anybody in the top three, and then that point just starts to shrink and get closer and closer and closer. So, you know, a lot of these drivers really need to focus up, have a good, strong run at Colorado, and then follow up with a very strong run at Sonoma. Because as we've seen in years past, a bad race at Sonoma could cost you so many points and just so much momentum that it could be hard to rebound from. And it's a big opportunity for a lot of these drivers to make up the points if they were starting to fall back in that 30-point or more differential between the lead.
Exactly right. Now, getting on to the Can-Am Pro Series East, is racing at Memphis International Raceway this weekend, June the 1st. They'll be racing at about 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Again, it will be broadcast live or streamed live on fanschoice.tv at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. The broadcast on NBC Sports Network will take place Wednesday, June 5th at 6 p.m. Eastern. This is a 0.75-mile paved oval. Last year's winner, James, was Ruben Garcia Jr. He's going to be racing again this year. And, of course, the pole sitter was Tyler Ankrum, and he will not be in the event this year.
Yeah, it's very interesting. The one that, you know, you obviously have to look at is Ruben Garcia. Is he going to follow up with another win? Then you go back to Chase Cabrey. Is he going to have a strong finish and possibly take home a win here at this track? Apparently the Rev Racing cars are really good there, and they have their stuff figured out for Memphis. They're able to beat those Bill McAnally cars that are coming out to race. But the most interesting thing I see is Ty Gibbs returning, right? There's a lot of controversy. I saw on my Twitter feeds about Ty in his first race. He even tweets something like redemption as he comes back for another Canaan start. So how is he going to do? What is his strategy going to be going into the race? Is he just trying to have a clean race, or is he really out there just to win races? Because, you know, he's not necessarily running for points. He just wants to get that first K&N win and do it in a second start. So it's going to be interesting, his racing style and also his approach as he goes into Memphis.
Yeah, he's got nothing to lose by the fact that he's not racing for points. So, absolutely, I see him going after that win in any way possible. He's had a string of second-place finishes, and it would mean a lot for him to come up with a victory here this weekend. But you mentioned also, we talked about Death House and the string of wins that he's been on. He's going to be racing this weekend in Tucson, for Bill McAnally Racing, along with his teammates, Brittany Zamora, but also racing this weekend is going to be Todd Gilliland. He's a champion that won the championship last year in the West.
Yeah, and that's another thing, you know, coming in, is Todd going to dominate this race? You know, the East seems to be pretty predictable at this point, except for, you know, just one race and obviously the rain out coming at New Smyrna. But it seems like the fastest car in practice and the pole sitter is usually the winner. So fans, if you're following along and you know, taking note throughout the day, watch who's fast in practice, because that's really going to decide who is going to be in contention or not. You know, you go into the National Series race, and they're just such long races. There's tire changes, a lot of points in time where you can make adjustments. But this race, is Todd going to be fast in practice? Is Ty going to be on top? Is Derek Kraus going to dominate another race, you know, winning the pole and winning the race? It's going to be very interesting, and most of it is known by practice and qualifying time, because as we've seen in this series, you're stuck with pretty much one set of tires, and there's not very many adjustments that you can make to make your car better. If you decide to pit at any point in the race, you're losing so much valuable track position, and with a limited amount of laps, it's going to be interesting which driver pulls out on top and who's going to be the dominant car, who's going to be the one that's fastest.
Exactly, and you mentioned it earlier. Haley Deegan is not racing the Can-Am Pro Series at Memphis because she's going to be at Pocono racing the ARCA Menard Series. So that's why Todd Gilliland is in her seat. And then Krause's other teammate, Brittany Zamora, will also be competing this weekend at Memphis. So it's hard to believe that Krause is just 15. Krause is 17. He told us he's going to be 18 in September when he can start racing on some of the bigger tracks for the truck series. But there's a 15-year-old Sam Mayer that's going to be in this race as well. He was the winner at Bristol with GMS Racing, getting his very first victory. So he's going to be someone to keep an eye on in this race as well.
Definitely. And you know, like I was speaking about Ruben Garcia Jr. and him winning last year at Memphis, that immediately tells you off the bat that those Rev Racing cars. And speaking of first wins, you know, looking at Chase Cabrie, you know, 32 starts, still looking for that first win in the K&N East. And, you know, being in that Rev Racing car, it's going to be interesting, those two drivers, right, Ruben Garcia and Chase Cabrie, see what they're able to bring to the table. And if they have a competitive enough piece to go out there and be able to compete for a win, because I think there's a lot of people pulling for Chase, and definitely want to see him win his first one here. So it's, you know, definitely one to follow along. Watching it live stream is going to be very interesting. Memphis, just, you know, one of those races that's snuck its way into the schedule, and such an awesome track. I was able to go there last year, and it's such an awesome facility and such a great place to have a K&N race. It'd be a great race to get your first victory. So looking forward to that.
And it's a little bit bigger. It's a little bit bigger too, James, isn't it, than most of the tracks that these guys run on?
Yeah, exactly. You know, the East having a few bigger tracks than the West Series, but it definitely still ranks up there in the Iowa Speedway, Gateway, you know, and some of the other tracks that the East runs that compares. And, you know, when I was there at Gateway last year, you know, watching the K&N race, it seemed like a lot of drivers were so accustomed to being on these almost mile-long tracks or just over a mile that it's become more of like a second nature. And I like that fact because it's, you know, definitely a developmental series to get you into the truck series, into the Xfinity series, and transition over there. So running these big tracks is really good. And also draws a lot of attention when you go to a place like Memphis that is on the little bit of the bigger side to you know, really fine-tune your skills and be able to use them once you go forward and advance and transition into the truck and Xfinity series.
Exactly. Now, something to be aware of as well is that Max McLaughlin, who's been racing in the Can-Am Pro Series this year, will be having his first run at Memphis this year. So it's going to be interesting to see what he does. But also Parker Retzla, he's making his series debut this weekend with Visconti Motorsports in the number 74, the first of several races that this team hopes to race the rest of the season.
Yeah, and another one to take a note of, Spencer Davis, right, with the Marquette Ford machine.
Yes.
He's going to be a huge competitor in this race. I mean, it's a 14 car count field as of now, how it stands. But all 14 of those drivers are stacked deep with very, very good equipment and all in contention to have a really good showing and a really good race. So, like you said, door-to-door action all the time going to happen in the K&N Series. So, really interesting race to watch, and especially when it's 14 of the best in regional racing. They're going to be out there, you know, switching it up, mixing it up, and it's going to be a really, really great race.
Okay, now again, fans will be able to watch this on fanschoice.tv, 6 p.m. this Saturday. So don't miss this race. It'll be fun. Now, who's your favorite to win?
Who is my favorite to win? Is that which series? Which one are we talking about here? There's a lot going on. K&N East.
Putting me on
the spot here. You know, I'm gonna pull for the underdog. I've been talking about Chase Cabrie a lot. I think that Chase Cabrie is gonna be the one to be victorious here in his first race. I think that Rev Racing, they're gonna bring a really, really great car to the track, and I think that Chase is hungry enough to get his first victory. It's gonna come at Memphis.
Well, James, I think that's a great pick, and I have to agree with you. I think Chase Cabrie really wants to go out there, and I think he finished second there last year. He wants to move up one more position and get that first victory, so it should be good. Okay, it's time for us to now get into the ARCA Racing Series. They're racing this Friday at Pocono Raceway. And this is kind of a great opportunity for them to be on the national stage with their racing at Pocono. You'll be able to watch on Fox Sports 2, and the race should start sometime around 5:45 Eastern time. I will say one of the things that's really cool about this race, too, as you watch on Fox Sports 2, is that Truck Series driver Matt Crafton is going to be part of the broadcasting.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. When the ARCA Series goes to this national level, that's when things get really, really pressure-filled, and drivers are really looking to have a great performance, especially when have somebody as amazing as Matt Crafton up in the booth. I know that a lot of drivers are going to be excited and putting on a great performance. Like we kind of touched on, Haley Deegan going to be out there racing, be able to see what she's able to do at a track like this. There's just so many great drivers on the entry list that, you know, it's going to be very interesting who ends up coming out on top. You have Michael Self that's been dominant all year, that's looking to have a great finish. It's going to be a really, really awesome race to take a look at.
It is. It's going to be a lot of fun for race fans, without a doubt. And this race, again, is taking place this Friday. That is May the 31st. The General Tire Anywhere is Possible 200 at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. We televised on Fox Sports 2. And last year's winner, by the way, is Harrison Burton, and I believe he's racing this weekend as well.
Yeah, and another one of those, I mean, between the K&N East and the ARCA Series, right now you just have so many of those, you know, dominant names coming in that are racing in the Truck Series that are starting to expand into the Xfinity Series and having really great showings in all of them, and then just kind of bouncing around in series. What you're seeing right now is just so much young talent coming through the K&N East Series, the K&N West Series, kind of transitioning over and moving over into the Truck Series. They're doing well there, and they're bouncing around. So you'll see them, maybe one race, so you'll see a Todd Gilland in the East race, and then somebody will jump over into the West and then go over to the ARCA Series, then be racing in the Truck Series. And what they're doing right there is gathering a ton of experience, and that's something that Harrison Burton has been so great at doing, is maneuvering through all of these different rides and able to get a victory, like you said, at Pocono last year, it's going to be another race that he's going to have a lot of contention, but there's going to be a lot of strong competitors this year. I mean, you have Christian Eckes, who's a winner of the Snowball Derby that has had great races across the board and been very competitive. And then, like I said, you know, Michael Self, that in seven starts already has picked up two wins, is in the lead of the ARCA Championship. And then Ty Majeski in the Xfinity series doing so well there, with Roush, and, you know, now going into the ARCA series, it's going to be a very interesting race. And I don't know, Harrison has a lot of competition if he wants to get a second victory back to back at Pocono.
He does. And Ty Majeski has a limited number of rides right now. So after winning at Charlotte last weekend, he's ready to make it two in a row this weekend at Pocono. So two big races along with the NASCAR guys. And I like seeing that because I know out in the West, a lot of people aren't as familiar with the ARCA Racing Series as we are here in the Midwest. But this series brings a lot of talent through the series. And a lot of these guys end up racing in NASCAR's top three. So if we look at the series point standings right now, you mentioned a lot of the people that are on that list. Michael Self is one of those guys. Travis Brayton is another one, the number 27 car. He's having a great season. So he's another one to watch along with Brett Holmes. And you mentioned Christian Eckes. Another one is Joe Graff Jr. Those are your top five guys, I think, to keep an eye on this weekend. And then you've got the other guys that we don't normally see, like a Haley Deegan. Is it possible that she could come in and come up with a win this weekend?
Yeah, and what you're seeing in the ARCA series right now is, you know, pretty much what you expect. A lot of these drivers come in for the bigger races, and you have kind of a scattered standings board right now. I mean, you have Todd Gilliland, who's, let me scroll down here and check, 28th in points, but he has a victory. Or Ty Majeski, who's 22nd in points, but has a victory. It's the wins are scattered, the points are scattered, and it's because you see these drivers trying to get their experience with the setup of how ARCA does things at these bigger tracks that are going mile and a half and plus that you don't get offered in the K&N series, and they'll come in and they'll be able to do a race, get their, you know, their skills tuned and fine-tuned, ready to go truck racing when they're ready to go to the national series, and then do the same thing there. So great practice for a lot of these drivers, but it's going to be hard to top, you know, somebody like Michael Self, or like you were talking about, Brett Holmes, or anybody in that top five, six in the point series, and try to come into their world and beat them. So it's going to be interesting to see how this one plays out, be able to watch the race and take notes of who's doing what strategies are being used, and who's going to come out on top.
Absolutely. A couple other drivers that we haven't mentioned yet that I think fans should keep an eye on. Rafael Lessard, he's going to be racing this weekend for KBR Development. And then Ryan Herbst is also going to be racing this weekend in a Gibbs car. So two other drivers. He'll be in the number 18 car for Gibbs Racing. So two other drivers to keep your eyes on this weekend, along with all of the other ones that we've talked about here. In the number 32 this weekend is from Winton Racing is going to be Cole Glasson, and I believe he's one of the local favorites.
Yeah, and like you said, it's going to be a very, very competitive race. There's a lot of really, really great drivers that are coming through. Cole Glasson coming from, you know, the short track ranks and moving his way up and making his start in the bigger. It's kind of a work your way up and trying to get used to these bigger tracks, that high speed, dealing with aerodynamics and how that's going to change things, and getting familiar with it, and assuming that he's going to start progressing and moving through his journey into the national series. But yeah, I'm very, very excited for this race to see how it plays out. Everybody's usually excited for the ARCA race. You have, you know, Chase Elliott winning a lot of these races, and, you know, some big names that are in the Cup Series now that were able to pick up wins at Pocono.
Yes, indeed. So do you have a favorite here? I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I know you're pretty good at picking some of these race winners.
Yeah, I'm kind of hit or miss, to be honest. I had Christian Eckes down on my paper to win, but I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to stick with a Christian Eckes win. So that's going to be my driver. We'll see if I can hit on East, miss on ARCA, or hit on East and possibly go vice versa. I don't know if I'll be able to hit both here, but, Christian Eckes is my pick to win.
All right. We're going to go ahead and move on to the Gander Outdoor Truck Series now. They are not racing this weekend. Their next event will be Friday, June the 7th at Texas Motor Speedway. So we will talk a little bit more about them during next week's preview show, but we'll give you some updates here tonight as well. Now, last year's winner at Texas was Johnny Sauter, just to give you a heads up there with regard to picking for next weekend. But let's go ahead and look at maybe one of the crew chiefs that we can spotlight here.
Yeah, I have no clue as to who's going to come out in Texas. It's always, and I find this with the picks, you know, doing for Fan for Racing. It's hard to judge things off of not doing practice, right? You can't see them in practice,
right.
And that's usually how you can assess it, and then it becomes a. Well, I think he's going to do really great here. And, you know, Ross Chastain, obviously teammates with my really good friend Reed Wilson, able to get his win. But at the same time, I would have never realistically thought that, you know, they've been doing so great, Ross Chastain, you know, going to Texas Motor Speedway, could he pick up a victory? I mean, at this point, it's just everybody has a shot. And then it becomes just such a – wild card per se, and I think it's so awesome because you start having drivers mixing up that normally wouldn't when you have the dominant teams like KBM, but it seems like some of the smaller teams and some of those mid-range teams like Nice are able to really find some competitive speed and give Ross Chastain a winning race car. So I think that everybody is going to be in contention here, and at that point, it's just who runs the best race.
Well, that's what it comes down to, and it's kind of a pot shot for all of us, really. You give your best guess, because we start guessing, putting our picks in at the beginning of the week, and like you say, it's blind. We don't know what practice is going to be like, what's going to be different about the race. So, you know, we just try to do the best we can there. But Scott Zipadelli has been a crew chief with Vittori Racing with driver Brett Moffitt. And we all know what happened with Brett Moffitt last year, taking the championship. That was with Vittori Racing and Scott Zipadelli. So Vittori, well, Brett Moffitt's not with Vittori Racing anymore. Taking that seat is Austin Hill this year in the number 16 Toyota. So now he's with Austin Hill. So if Austin Hill actually does have one win, I think, at the season opener at Daytona, that was Zipadelli's eighth victory on top of the pit box in five seasons as a crew chief in the Truck Series. So he's also worked with Red Horse Racing in 2016 at Michigan, his first series victory for both the Truck Series and with Red Horse Racing. So Scott Zipadelli, a lot of people know that name Zippadelli from Stuart Haas Racing. But this isn't the same Zippadelli. This is I don't know, is he a brother or?
You know, I'm not quite sure. I'm not quite sure how they're related. I have to take a look at that and see what the relation is.
Okay. But, yeah, it's really cool to see Scott getting some recognition and kind of a spotlight on him this weekend for Texas Motor Speedway. He's got a good track record at this next track. He's been at the helm for 9 races there, and he has a pair of top 5s and 6 top 10s. So it wouldn't surprise me if they go after that victory this next weekend at Texas Motor Speedway.
Yeah, and I'm really interested to see how this playoff contention is going to shake up here as we close into the midway part of the season. You know, for a lot of these truck series drivers, they're really starting to set their heads on, you know, getting those initial bugs out of the way and working those out from the beginning part of the season. Crew chiefs are really working on their car, trying to make sure that they're giving their driver the best possible chance to be in contention as it comes down to the end of the year. And, you know, it's just a stacked field after a stacked field, and it becomes more and more difficult to race your way in. So the pressure is starting to become on, and I feel like Texas Motor Speedway comes that point where it's really the pivotal moment of how your season's going to go for the rest of the year, just because it's hitting that midway, and it's like if I pick up a victory here and I don't have one, you know, I lock myself in going into future races. So a lot of pressure on the teams, a lot of pressure on the crew chiefs, and definitely on the drivers trying to work out their best performance, start building that chemistry as they go towards championship season.
Absolutely. Now, we mentioned Harrison Burton. Even though the trucks are not running this weekend, he's pretty busy this weekend between the Arkham Menard Series and the Xfinity Series that will be racing at the Tricky Triangle of Pocono this weekend. So he'll be in the number 20 for Venturini Motorsports Friday. And then when he races on Saturday, he's going to be, let's see, the number 18 car, I guess. Is that right? No.
I believe so, yes.
Oh, okay, the number 18 car. Okay, and that's going to be pretty fun. Now, he's a defending winner of that ARCA race this past year. So he's looking forward. He went on. He should do pretty well. Be having won at that track before.
Yeah, and just as a follow up, he I believe will be in the 18. He'll be in the 18 vehicle going into the next Xfinity race coming up.
Okay, so that's fantastic. Overall, he's had 14 ARCA races, and in those 14 races, he's had 3 victories. So that's pretty amazing when you think about it.
Yeah, and like you go back to it, and we were just talking about it in the ARCA race, and him being the Pocono winner, I mean, he's just putting himself in the right positions to be able to win consistently, whether it's the K&N Series, ARCA Series, or as he's starting to progress through the ranks. He's just been an overall competitor that proves to be somebody to compete with for victories every single weekend. So as he develops this experience, as he gets a little bit more accustomed to how everything operates once he moves up, it's interesting how he'll maneuver through the environment and see if he'll start picking up Xfinity wins, if he'll start picking up more and more truck wins as we go through the season. So, I mean, impressive statistics so far. And Harrison, just a driver that's going to continue to get better.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, now, Johnny Sauter. Did you know Johnny Sauter has 6 wins at Texas Motor Speedway?
Unbelievable. That's unbelievable. Good thing to take note
of.
Good thing to take note of as we make our picks. So that's a little bit of information that you could just take note of. I believe I'm the first pick. Well, I don't know about the truck series.
We've already got him in for this week.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you don't know how your picks are going to do this week. Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. So, you know, if I'm the first pick, you know, probably some information that's good to know.
Absolutely. But he's racing with Thor Sport Racing this year, and he's back with his teammate, Matt Crafton. So Matt Crafton would like to break that string of wins for Johnny Sauter and come up with his own victory. So right now he's been kind of winless. So it's hard to believe that Matt Crafton hasn't had a win in 43 races, going back to his surprise win at Eldora Speedway in July of 2017. So he wants to break that streak as well and come up with a victory this weekend.
Yeah, and it's not going to surprise me if they get organized back together. You know, it all comes back to the swing of how the team is doing, you know, relating back to the driver. Once they give him the car to go out and compete and be up in the front of the field, that's when we'll see Matt Crafton truly shine. But right now, I think team chemistry just between Thor Sport trying to work forward and become more acclimated to the cars, the changes that are going on. And then also competition always ramps up every single year, right? In the off season, teams are really going hard to work, you know, making sure that their cars are ready for the next year, and, you know, just building as they go forward. It wouldn't surprise me if Matt Crafton gets 2 to 3 wins before we even go into playoffs. Maybe one starting out next year.
It's certainly possible. I'll tell you what, he's had a much better season already this year. He's tied, actually, with Kyle Busch for top fives. He has 5 top fives. He won the pole at the most recent 2 races on the schedule, including Kansas and Charlotte. And both of those are 1.5-mile tracks, just like Texas. So he has 2 wins at Texas. Both are at that June race in 2014 and 15. I really think that it's entirely possible that he could take his 88 truck back to victory lane there as well.
Yeah, exactly. And if you take a look at it, you know, it seems like he's always right there, but he's not necessarily in the right there as in top three, which is, I think, is causing the biggest problems for Matt Crafton. You know, getting more and more victories, you know, with the 5 top fives. I mean, that's incredible. But just a lack of stage wins and a lack of, you know, just having 0 wins on the season so far shows me that they're right there and they're in contention. And I believe, yeah, they're the most top fives in all of the full-time competitors right now. So they're obviously there. They're ready to be the most dominant team, but just the lack of wins is what's causing them to be a little bit out of contention right now in terms of the top spot in the truck series.
Okay. Now, we talked a little bit here about Johnny Sauter. He's chasing his 6th win at Texas. So he has to wait one more week to get back on track, but he's looking to do what only one other driver has done, and that is to win 6 races at Texas Motor Speedway. So I guess he only has 5 wins. But he wants to make it 6 wins this weekend at Texas Motor Speedway. So that's second only to Todd Bodine, who does have 6 wins. He did that in the fall of 2004, the fall of 2005, the summer of 2006, summer of 2007, summer of 2009, and summer of 2010. That's quite a stretch for Todd Bodine. Two of Sauter's wins came at Texas during the June race, including his first at the track in just 2012. His most recent is last year, as he's returning as the defending winner there. He has 11 top fives, 17 top tens, and 22 starts there, as well as starting on the pole 4 times. He is also the lone multi-winner driver at Texas to have piloted for 2 different manufacturers in the victory lane. In 2012, came in a Toyota with his first go around with Northsport Racing. So now he's in a Ford with Northsport. And it's again, it's going to be fun to see what he does this weekend. Now, his next three races came with GMS Racing in a Chevrolet. He won there in the fall of 2016, the fall of 2017, and the summer of 2018. And now he has a chance to win with a third different manufacturer with Northsport Racing, now racing in Ford. So can he do it?
I personally think he can. If you've won in two manufacturers, what's a third? You know, he's obviously proved himself to be extremely good at Texas Motor Speedway. Anytime you say going for a shot at your sixth win and also at the same time going for your shot at winning in all three manufacturers at a single track, I mean, that's just something that's like, all right, put me in whatever truck, put me in whatever car, and I will I'll go out and win. Don't worry about it, guys. I'll take care of it. So Johnny Sauter obviously doesn't care about manufacturers or anything like that. He just wants to win races.
Oh, okay. I think you're right. I think he's racing in the truck series has been a good move for Johnny Sauter, as well as Matt Crafton. And I think both of these guys racing for the same team, I think they're both going to end up with wins this season. Of course, Johnny already has a win, as does Austin Hill in that series. They're the only two drivers with wins so far this season. And it's the top eight drivers that are going to go into the playoffs in this Gander Outdoor Truck Series. Right now, though, it's Grant Infinger who's leading the points. And Stuart Friesen in second. Brett Moffitt, we talked about him. He's racing with a different team this year in the number 24. He's third. Ben Rhodes having a great season in the number 99 for Northsport. And then Matt Crafton in fifth. Johnny Sauter sixth. Austin Hill, the other race winner in this series, is in seventh. And what about Todd Gilliland now in eighth place in the number four car in this Gander Outdoor Truck Series?
The biggest surprise to me, I think all these drivers are having phenomenal years, across the board, top 12, just very, very, very strong competitors. There's not that many wins between all of them. I mean, you have Austin Hill and Johnny Sauter with a win, but, you know, for all those top drivers, lacking any victories. So definitely not a Matt Crafton thing. And, you know, definitely not a team thing. I think that it's just so hyper-competitive with some of these cup drivers and other National Series drivers that are coming in, or even the part-timers that are racing, you know, one-off races here and there, are really stealing up all the victories from the full-time competitors. So really interesting to see how that's going to play out throughout the rest of the season. Is it going to be like that? Or, you know, is anybody going in the top 15 in points, or anybody there going to win more than two or three races? I don't think that's a normal thing or something we usually see in the truck series for full-time drivers. So something to take note of as we go forward.
Well, if you look at the drivers that are below Todd Gilliland, who's in that cutoff spot, Harrison Burton is just 1 point behind Todd Gilliland. So I think that's going to be a battle between those two. But you've got other drivers like Sheldon Creed, Tyler Gipple, Spencer Boyd, and Brendan Poole going all the way back to 13th place here. Any one of those drivers could come up with a win and move themselves into the playoff contenders list before the season, this regular season, is over.
Yeah, it's just going to be – it's going to be an awesome thing to watch. You know, obviously you have Todd and Harrison going through about the same pace and the same rate in terms of going from the K&N series, ARCA, and jumping into the truck series, now racing full time. It's going to be interesting how that battle plays out. Who's going to get their first victory of the year? Is it going to be Harrison? Is it going to be Todd? That's kind of a small, you know, not necessarily rivalry, but probably a competition between those two drivers. Who's going to do what? Who's going to finish higher up in the point series?
Yeah, I think these guys are friends. They have a friendly rivalry, if you will. So you're right. It's going to be fun to see how it all plays out for the rest of this season. So look forward to that race in Texas coming up next weekend. Now we'll kind of get into the Xfinity Series. They're going to be racing this weekend at Pocono Raceway. Their race is taking place on Saturday before the K&N Pro Series race. Their race will start sometime around 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. It'll be televised with pre-race coverage starting at 12:30 on Fox Sports 1. And if you're listening on the radio, you want to tune in to MRN or SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. They're going to be driving a distance of 250 miles over 100 laps. So the first two stages will be 25 laps each, and then the final stage will end on the last lap, which is lap 100. Last year's winner in this Xfinity Series was Kyle Busch.
Wow. Yeah, I haven't even seen the entry list. Is Kyle Busch going to be racing at Texas?
You know, I was just thinking about that myself. I haven't seen the entry list either. I'm going to look at it right now, though, and see if I see his name on that entry list.
I mean, that's pretty much going to be the deciding factor of who wins that race.
That's true. I know he's done in the truck series. He can't race anymore in the truck series, so he's reached his limit there. And I'm going down the list here. I do not see his name on the list here for this Xfinity Series race.
Well, there you go. Then all the other drivers can have at it because it's open territory now. Kyle Busch isn't in. Somebody get a win.
go out there and get it. Oh, okay.
Exactly.
So this is a big opportunity for a lot of these drivers in the Xfinity Series. Now, we do a parade lap here with the drivers, and we've got, I believe, four drivers here that we can kind of focus in on, if you will. Is it four? We'll start with Kimmy Hill. He's going to be driving the number 66 this weekend for Motorsports Business Management. That's going to be a Toyota Supra. And just take a look. His crew chief, by the way, is Clinton Cram. So we'll look forward to seeing what they're able to do this weekend. He loves the Redskins, and he loves spending time with his family. He comes from Port Tobacco, Maryland. I didn't even know of that town ever before. Excuse me. So that's new. But if we take a look at his Xfinity career highlights, this is the fifth full season that he's competed for a championship in the Xfinity Series. His best career finish is 17th, and the series driver championship standings during his rookie season in 2011. He's also posted three top tens and 170 starts, all at Daytona International Speedway. So he's really good on the super speedways. If we look at his season highlights, he's 27th in the Xfinity Series championship points. In 10 starts the season, he's posted three top 20 finishes, and he has an average finish of 27.5. His performance at Pocono, he's made two starts there, posting an average finish of 30.5. Now, this gives us a chance to not only focus on some of the stars of the sport, but it also kind of familiarize you with some of the other drivers that don't always get the recognition.
Exactly. And, yeah, definitely a lot of drivers like Timmy Hill that are trying to, you know, develop the team to a point where they can become competitive, NBM being one of those teams. And, you know, Timmy just grinding hard – going to super speedways. Like you said, Daytona, all of his best finishes there. Just keeping his nose clean and playing the chess match to his best advantage. It becomes harder once you go to those mile and a half. So you have less of the big ones, and equipment starts to take over a little bit more and more. It's interesting to see possibly if they can get a little bit more competitive, start racing into the top 20s more consistently, possibly the top 15s. You know, we've seen that what happened with JD Motorsports and Ross Chastain, that team working their way up, getting better and better. Garrett Smithley, each and every weekend going on his third full season, I believe, just under a full season, and being more competitive every single race. You have a lot of drivers like that just really trying to work hard. And I love to see Timmy doing his best. Yeah, doing his best to try to work his way up to the top spots here.
Now, coming back to the number 11 this weekend for College Racing in the Chevrolet Camaro is Justin Haley. He's just 20 years of age, hailing from Winnemac, Indiana. He has a lot of hobbies here: muscle car restoration, sports car racing, surfing, fishing, hunting, triathlons, mountain biking, fitness, graphics and design, and anything competitive. That's a lot. He's a busy guy. His crew chief this weekend is Nick Harrison, and if we look at his Xfinity highlights, he signed with Colic Racing during the off season to run his first full season in the Xfinity Series this year. He posted his career best finish of fifth, and that was just last weekend at Charlotte Motor Speedway. He made his Xfinity Series career debut just last season. He made three starts for GMS Racing, posting a best finish of 12th, and that was at Iowa Speedway. His highlights this season, right now he's 11th in the championship point standings. He's 195 points away from the series leader, who is Tyler Reddick. In 11 starts this season, he has one stage win. He has one top five and eight top tens. His average finish is 10.0. Currently fourth in the Sunoco Rookie of the Year standings, he's 43 points back from Chase Briscoe, who has the rookie standings lead right now. This weekend, though, is going to be a track debut for Justin Haley at Pocono Raceway.
Yeah, and it's going to be very I'm curious to see what he's able to do at Pocono. I know that pretty much everything that he's got into since the beginning of his initial career has been really great. Going back to talking about Timmy Hill, though, and how, you know, teams are trying to work up, you have Ryan Sieg in the number 39 that's broke the top 10 in points and has a very slow season compared to previous years. So, like I was saying about, you know, drivers trying to work and become more competitive with their team and start to break those barriers of where they're able to finish consistently, Ryan Sieg obviously able to do that, you know, getting a few top fives, you know, a whole cluster of top tens, and able to put himself in the top 10 in points and contention of being a playoff contender. So that's really awesome to see. And then obviously you have, you know, other guys like Justin Haley, Brandon Jones that are just kind of battling in that 11th to 12th spot and around the same similar age and same period of racing in the Can-Am Series and the ARCA Series. I mean, from 6th to 14th, just some really interesting names and really awesome to see a lot of those drivers up there.
Absolutely. And one of those drivers is a series points leader, Tyler Reddick. He drives the number 2 for Richard Childress Racing, the Chevrolet Camaro. He's 23 years old from Corning, California. His hobbies include riding ATVs, gaming, and working on cars. His crew chief is Randall Burnett. Highlights for his Xfinity Series career is he won last year's championship title. He's also won the 2018 Sunoco Rookie of the Year honors. He's just the third driver in series history to win the title in his rookie season, joining other big names, Chase Elliott, who did it in 2014, and William Byron, who did it in 2017. In 2017, he captured his first NASCAR Xfinity Series victory at Kentucky Speedway while running a part-time schedule. And right now he has 5 career wins in the Xfinity Series. Now this year, he's again the series points leader with 2 different teams. Last year, by the way, he was racing with Junior Motorsports. This year, he's racing with RCR. He's 65 points ahead of second place Christopher Bell. And in 11 starts this season, he has 2 poles, 2 wins at Talladega and Charlotte. He has 9 top fives, 10 top tens, and he leads the series in both top fives and top tens this season. He also leads the series in the average finishing position with a career best in 11 starts. His average finish is 4.4, which is just amazing in the series. He made his Xfinity Series track debut at Pocono last year, and in that race he started 9th and finished 9th. I've got a feeling he's going to do a little better than that this year.
Unbelievable. That's just mind-boggling that they have 11 starts and 9 top fives and 10 top tens. I mean, you figured nobody would be better than Christopher Bell, how he was last year. But this team's going to set fire here pretty soon. I mean, they are about to hit a hot streak. Whenever you put up numbers like that, that means everything's right with the world. And, you know, to get 9 top fives, and, you know, I say this, but only get 2 wins out of that, just shows me that they're going to get more and more. They're going to pile in more of those wins, and they're going to be definitely the 2 cars to beat are going to be Christopher Bell and Tyler Reddick this year. I mean, they are really, really competitive. Even Cole Custer, you know, fitting in some crazy numbers. But Tyler Reddick, obviously, incredibly consistent and just very, very fast this season.
Yeah, I think the difference between Tyler Reddick and Christopher Bell is Christopher tends to be either hot or cold. He either has a really, really good run or he ends up with a did not finish. Tyler Reddick, on the other hand, just seems to be so consistent. Every race, he's a contender.
Yeah, and when we have numbers like that, it's hard to disagree with that. I mean, 9 top fives and 11 starts in the Xfinity Series, you know, where you're so competitive in general. That is just, those are just unbelievable numbers.
Yeah, they are. They are. It's amazing. Now, another driver that I kind of want to mention here, he's had a win already this season. Michael Annette in that number one car for Junior Motorsports, Chevrolet Camaro. He's 32, hailing from Des Moines, Iowa. He enjoys cycling, working out, and boating. His crew chief is Travis Mack. In 2017, he made the Xfinity Series playoffs, finishing the season 9th in the series point standings. In 2012, he had his best career finish, a 5th in the series championship driver standings. He's like I mentioned, he already has a win this season. This year, he's 10th in the driver championship points. He's 186 points behind Tyler Reddick. He posted his first career Xfinity Series win at Daytona, the season opener, and right away that qualified him for the playoffs for the first time since 2017. In 11 starts this season, he's posted 1 pole, 1 win, 2 top fives, 7 top tens, and his average finish is 10.3. He's also led the 6th most laps this season, which is 61 laps. So another focus on a driver that doesn't always get a lot of attention, but is doing pretty well, I think, there at Junior Motorsports.
Yeah, and there's just so many notables. Definitely Junior Motorsports having a really, really great season overall, with you know, Noah Gregson able to put himself in the top 10 in points in his rookie year here. Junior Motorsports definitely, I think, has some, you know, improving to do over the season. You know, to compete with the top 3 right now would be very difficult. But that whole stable over there, I think that they're just going to learn and develop over the year, and it's really going to be a kind of midway, just past midway is when we're really going to find out if they'll have something for those top three as they progress into further in the season.
Okay. Now, there's a couple of drivers that are going to be racing this weekend. They're coming down from the NASCAR Cup Series to race in the Xfinity Series this week. Austin Dillon will be in the number 10 for College Racing. His crew chief is Alex Yonts. And in the number 8 for Junior Motorsports is going to be Ryan Preece with crew chief Tyler Moyer. So it will be interesting to see what these guys do Saturday in the Xfinity Series.
Exactly. And it's just going to come down to who's going to have the fastest car at the beginning, you know, which team is going to be able to make the right decision for track conditions and how it's going to play out for the rest of the race. So it's really going to come down a lot on the crew chiefs, especially at a track like Pocono, what's going to work and what's not. And, you know, you're really going to see that team chemistry come to surface.
Okay. Now there's also some rookies here that are closing the gap on the leaders. For the first time this season, Noah Gregson with Junior Motorsports won the Sunoco Rookie of the Race Award at Charlotte Motor Speedway by being the highest finishing rookie. He had a fourth place finish. In the process, he also closed the gap on the rookie standings leader, Chase Briscoe, along with second place driver John Hunter Nemechek. Following Charlotte, Briscoe's at 369 points. Just 11 points behind him is John Hunter Nemechek, and Gregson is 20 points back of the leader in that third-place spot. So is he going to close that gap a little bit more at Pocono?
It's possible. It's very possible. I know that Noah is very capable, and it's really going to come down to, you know, like I was saying, who's going to have the best setup, who's going to come with the, you know, and done their homework going into the weekend and be able to pull out the best car and the best piece for race quality. So going from momentum from last race into this one is going to be critical in closing down that gap. And it's just going to come down from race to race, just chip away at it and get yourself back into competing for that rookie of the year.
Okay, now another driver who's riding on some momentum coming into Pocono is Jeffrey Earnhardt. Last week at Charlotte Motor Speedway, he had his career-best finish of third place in the number 18 for Joe Gibbs Racing. So his average finish this season is also a career-best. It's 11.6, and he has led a single season career high of 29 laps. So it'll be fun to see what he's able to do in that number 18 that Kyle Busch drove to a win last year in this event. Can Jeffrey Earnhardt pull off a victory this weekend?
I don't know, and it'd be very interesting. Obviously, anybody that gets into the number 18 car has a chance. But, you know, my mind was already set on the 8 car. Ryan Preece getting back into the Xfinity Series, making another start in the number 8 Planters Chevrolet. Is he going to have a competitive piece going forward? Is that somebody that to take a look at? I'm not sure, but definitely Jeffrey Earnhardt, another driver to take note of as they make their way over to Pocono to see if they have a car to win.
Okay. Next, we're going to have to talk about Austin Cindric. It could be the place that he grabs a checkered flag this weekend at Pocono. He's with Team Penske this year, and he's put on quite a performance with his Xfinity Series track debut last year at Pocono. He leads all series championship contenders in three key pre-race loop data categories at Pocono. So here we go. Driver rating, Cindric is at 118.9, Cole Custer 110.2, and John Hunter Nemechek at 100.1. That's a little surprising. Average running position, Cindric is at 5.780, Custer is at 6.505 and Nemechek at 8.060. The fastest laps run, Cindric is at 17, Justin Allgaier is at 6, and Custer is at 5. Sounds a little surprising to me. What about you?
Those are some interesting numbers, and also goes into the picks for this weekend, right, at Pocono. Who are you going to go for? Sharon, I'm curious, who's your picks for this race here at the Xfinity Series?
Well, I was going to get into that, to be honest with you. Let's go ahead and do that, because I'm going to give all the picks that everybody picked for this race from our Fan for Racing crew. We'll start with you. You want to give your pick?
Ooh, interesting. I believe that I have the first pick, right? I'm right off the bat.
Yeah, you were right off the bat this time. You remember who you picked?
Yeah, I do. It's gonna be Christopher Bell. I'm gonna go for Christopher Bell here at Pocono. It's gonna be hard to beat him here.
Okay. Well, and a driver that I pick every chance I get is Cole Custer, is my pick for this weekend. Andy took Chase Briscoe. Jay took Austin Cindric, which seems like a pretty good pick looking at his stats here. And Sam is taking Noah Gregson this weekend. So I think all of those are really great picks.
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult thing. It's a hit or miss because, you know, I'm probably going to notice that Christopher Bell, you know, this awesome, perfect pick is going to be, you know, running off in practice. They have some type of problems, and then going into the race, you know, no, my luck, they'll have a flat tire or something. But, I'm hoping for the best for this week. I'm hoping for the best for my Xfinity picks this weekend. It seems like I usually get the good drivers because I don't pick well every once in a while. And then, he's a safe, nice, conservative pick. And then, it ends up backfiring on me.
Well, I think it's been happening to a lot of us this year. The only series that I was doing good in is the Xfinity series. And now everybody's starting to gain on me. The other two series have not been that great for me either. For exactly the same reason. I make a great pick, but then something happens and they don't have their best race. So I certainly can feel for what you're talking about there. Now, next up is our Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. They'll be racing the Pocono 400 this weekend. That's Sunday, June the 2nd at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Now, if you want to watch the pre-race coverage and tune in to Fox Sports 1 at 12:30, they will have that for you along with radio coverage on MRN and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. Now, this race is 400 miles. They'll be racing 160 laps. The first two stages are 50 laps apiece, and the final stage ends on the last lap, lap 160. Last year's winner and the defending winner this weekend, Martin Truex Jr., and he's coming off a good run. He's got 3 victories already this season.
Yeah, at this point, it's going to be a hit or miss, right? This is the first time we get to see Pocono with the new aero package. So, you know, regardless if you have wins here or not, I think that it's going to be interesting. You know, Goodyear only allowing 3 sets for practice, right? 3 new sets of tires for practice, only 1 set for qualifying and 7 sets for the race. Putting these limitations on and then also changing the horsepower of the cars, it's going to be a hit or miss. I think it's going to come down to who's the most dominant of the season, who's been able to master this package the best. But also Pocono is such a unique track. That's why they call it the Tricky Triangle, because it brings such a unique characteristic that I think everybody is up in the air. You know, if you're a top 20 driver, I think that you have just as much a shot as the driver that's been winning all season. So it's going to be interesting.
It definitely is. And I'm going to get right into the rookie update here because if we have time, I'll come back to the parade lap drivers. But let's talk talk about those rookies. JT Doherty's Ryan Preece continues to pace the rookie of the year standings by just 8 points over Richard Childress Racing's Daniel Hemric. The last two races have been challenges for both Preece, who's 28, has a pair of top 10 finishes on the year, highlighted by a third place showing at Talladega four races ago. He hasn't had a top 20 since. However, his 25th place finish in Kansas 2 weeks ago is best in that stretch, and this will be his Cup debut at Pocono this weekend. He finished 17th in the Xfinity Series race there, which is his only previous start at that track. Now, Hemric, who's also 28, had his best season showing at Talladega with a fifth-place finish, but it's his only top 10 this season. He's also struggled some in the past month, earning the best of 18th at Kansas during that time. Again, he drives the number 8 for RCR, but he does have the most experience at Pocono's Turkey Triangle, having earned a pair of top 10 finishes in Xfinity Series competition and another in the Gander Outdoor Truck Series. Now, Matt Tift, who's ranked 31st in the series point standings, is coming off his best rookie showing at last week's race at Charlotte Motor Speedway. He finished 20th, equaling his best result of the season at Phoenix, and he has top 10 finishes in the Truck Series there in 2015 and the Xfinity Series in 2017 at Pocono Raceway. So some tight competition there between Ryan Preece and Daniel Hemric for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be those are such good names to have for the Rookie of the Year, that I'm, so much talent between both of those drivers and everybody competing for the Rookie of the Year. I have no idea who's going to pull out. You know, it's a long season. It's a long haul. It's going to be who keeps it the most consistent and who gets the Cup Series figured out the soonest. I think both drivers are learning as much as possible, absorbing the information and trying to, get their car right, get the way that they're supposed to be driving, the way that they need to be driving in order to contend and really develop and learn in the series. It's going to be that second half of the season that really makes or breaks it for these drivers. But as you can see, having very good initial starts for both drivers, but progressing kind of, getting through those early parts of the season and now really starting to dial in and get their best finishes of the year. So up in the air right now for Rookie of the Year, but definitely going to be a very, very good contention and shot at trying to be the Rookie of the Year in the Cup Series.
Okay. Now there's three drivers that won their very first race at Pocono. That includes Denny Hamlin, who did it in 2006. Chris Buescher did it in 2016. And Ryan Blaney did it in 2017. But there's three drivers that are kind of part of this youth movement that I think we need to watch at Pocono this weekend. That includes Chris Buescher, who is 26. He's looking for his second Cup trophy. There's also a third-year driver, Blaney, answered his Pocono showing with a win at the Charlotte Roval during the playoff last year. Excuse me. The Team Penske driver is just 25 and has five top 12 finishes in six Pocono starts. And he also won the Busch Polo Award there in the spring race last year. Also, there's Eric Jones with Joe Gibbs Racing. He's got three top 10 finishes and four starts at Pocono, including a third place in 2017, which was his Cup debut. And he's led laps in three of his four Pocono races. Hendrick Motorsports driver Chase Elliott is 23. He has five top 10 finishes in six races at Pocono with a best showing of fourth in the 2016 Pocono debut. And then moving on, we've got Richard Petty Motorsports driver Bubba Wallace, who made his Cup Series debut on the track in 2017. He scored his best showing of 16th in that race. And he also led four laps in the spring race of 2018 before his 43 car was retired with some engine issues. He does have a pair of top 10 finishes in the truck series at Pocono as well. So with those young drivers, there's quite a few in there that could pull off a win this weekend.
I mean, and talking about another young driver that I think has the best storyline coming off from the last race, Corey LaJoie, right? He fits in that young category,
yeah.
and just getting a 12th place finish at Charlotte, especially in the Coke 600, such a long race where it really comes down to who has the best car and who can last the longest. Are they going to have the swing going in? Could they possibly get their first win in that go fast car? I have no idea. It's definitely an interesting storyline and would be a huge accomplishment for that team to get their first victory. So not only just the driver, but also the team as well, getting their first win.
Well, I'll tell you what, another driver who's bringing some confidence into Pocono is a veteran driver, Kurt Busch. He's driven for a lot of teams, but this year he's driving with Chip Ganassi Racing. And he has a pretty successful resume at Pocono as well. He has three wins there, and that's second only to Denny Hamlin, who has four wins among the active drivers. Jimmy Johnson also has three wins. In 35 starts at Pocono, Busch has 20 top 10 finishes, which also ties him with Johnson for most in the field. No one on this week's grid has more previous top five showings, which is 14, than Busch at that track. Busch is one of only four drivers ranked among the Monster Energy Cup Series top 16 with multiple pole positions, two, and three wins at Pocono. His driver rating there is 102.8. That's third best in the field and second only to Hamlin among the drivers with at least 10 starts at the track. He has top 10 finishes in four of his last six starts there. And Busch returns to Pocono this week looking for his first win of the season, first driving the number one for Chip Ganassi Racing. He has eight top 10 finishes through the opening 13 races this year, including a runner-up showing at Bristol and a third place at Atlanta. He's had top 10s in two of the last four races, but is coming off a 27th place at Charlotte. But Pocono could certainly be a turnaround race for Kurt Busch.
Exactly, and he's proved in his entire career that he can get into any car and be able to win. It just takes some time. It takes some development. And, you know, I think that Pocono is the great track for him to do it. So, you know, it's definitely a very, very hard thing to win a Cup Series, right? We all know that it's the most competitive racing series and the entire world. So it's hard not to come with momentum. It's hard to have a bounce back race, but anything's also possible because they have the car, they have the equipment, and they have the driver to do it. It just comes down to, you know, the stars aligning and everything being right. And you know, this could be the race. It's unlikely, but it could be the race, and there is definitely a possibility. And Kurt Busch would be the driver to do it, especially with a team as reputable as Ganassi.
Okay, I agree. Now, also, there's a powerhouse at Penske, Team Penske this year as well, between Brad Keselowski, who's one of three drivers who have three wins in the first half of this season, Kyle Busch and Martin Truex being the other two. Joey Logano, we know, is the current champion, defending champion this season, and he's been exchanging the points lead with Kyle Busch for most of this season. He won at Las Vegas. He has nine top tens, and the team's newest addition, Ryan Blaney, has outdone with the veterans as he looks for his first win of the season. All three drivers at Team Penske are ranked top 10 in the standings, so That's a big accomplishment, I think, for Team Penske. So what do you think? Do one of those drivers have a chance of winning this 2 week?
Yeah, both of the Penske cars are going to be strong. I think that you know, I don't want to jump too soon and kind of spoil things, but my pick was from a different stable. But I think that the Penske drivers, both Keselowski and Logano, are always strong. You know, for some reason in my head, Logano rings a little bit more as somebody that's likely to win at Pocono, but both drivers have had really good showings there, Keselowski getting wins there. They're going to be strong anywhere they go. Is it going to be strong enough to get a victory? Well, I didn't pick them, so I'm not necessarily going to go for them, but it's definitely a possibility and definitely something that they're going to be in contention for.
Well, and that's kind of a home track for Joey Logano as well. Now, there's three other drivers, Martin Truex Jr., Kyle Busch, and Denny Hamlin, another driver that is really looking for another win this week. Which of those three do you think have a good chance of winning this weekend?
Ooh, I'm not sure. What would be your pick out of those?
Well, I think you know my pick out of those. I would pick Martin Truex Jr. I always go with him, but I do think that Kyle Busch is another driver that could make it a fourth win.
Yeah, possibly. I completely agree with you. Martin Truex Jr. would have been my first initial reaction to that because he's just – I think that they've found their groove and now they're unstoppable. So we'll see if it keeps playing out this way. But if Martin Truex Jr. is able to do what he was doing at Furniture Row and they've just been able to replicate that, it's going to be hard to stop them.
It is. Okay, now let me just kind of go over our Fan for Racing picks here. James, you want to give your pick at this point?
My pick was Kevin Harvick. He's had really great races there his entire career, and I think that he's going to come home with victory.
Okay. He's been knocking on the door, that's for sure. Sam took one of the Team Penske drivers, Brad Keselowski. I took Martin Truex, and Jay took another Penske driver, Ryan Blaney, and Andy came in with one of the Hendrick drivers, Alex Bowman. So it's going to be fun to see what happens between those drivers this weekend at Pocono Raceway. Now, Jay, we haven't had you on the show, I think, yet this season, so it's time for us to maybe catch up with what you're up to these days.
Oh, what am I up to these days? Well, I'm trying to work hard on a few super late model races last year. This year, partnering up with the same company once again, Slidebelt, and been doing a lot of things behind the scenes with them and trying to organize and strategize for a possible NASCAR program. So I've been working really hard on that. In the meantime, I've been working at the BMW Performance Center down in Greer, South Carolina, and learning a lot about the road course side of things, a lot of things that I never learned or experienced in my life, a lot of the terms that they use to teach high-performance driving, a lot different. So expanding my driving talents down there and just gaining as much experience possible while having a job being a driver instructor. And, you know, been traveling around doing that. And pretty much working hard. I've been into music management. That's just an interesting thing to throw in there as well. One of the previous super late model driver, Joey Padgett, I've been helping him out with his – he's also doing a music career as well as working in the racing industry. So we've been hosting shows and going around and doing a bunch of different performances. So that's been a super cool and interesting thing that's been going on recently. So just really gathering a lot of experience from different industries and trying to all apply that as I try to pursue, hopefully, a NASCAR Xfinity ride either at the end of this year or beginning of next year.
Oh, that would be so awesome to see you back on the track with NASCAR. I would love that. And it sounds like you definitely kept your schedule busy there. I like that you're into the music there and helping some drivers, helping some people push forward with their music career as well. James, we always appreciate having you on the show as part of our Fantasy Racing crew every week with our fantasy game. But it's been a treat tonight to have you on the show with us for the preview show. Usually we have you on Monday night, so I think this is the first time you've done a preview show with us.
That is correct, and it was so awesome. All right, I love going over this stuff and, you know, getting back into it, getting into the groove of racing and getting down to the numbers and who's there, who's not. I love doing this.
Okay. Now, how can fans follow you, James?
So all my social media is always going to be Bickford_James. That's B as in boy, ICKFORD_James. And on Facebook, I have a James Bickford Motorsports and also a Facebook of James Bickford. That's my personal. And pretty much post updates as frequently as possible. It's been less frequent as to date. But as soon as I find things out and, you know, make announcements myself, you'll be able to find that all on my social media. So that's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, across the board, you name it.
Okay. Now, I did say this earlier tonight, but I'm going to repeat it. We are going to go ahead and close the show out now. It turns out that both Jay and Andy are not available for the NASCAR Hot Topics tonight. So we'll be back Monday night with the Hot Topics Sound Off at 10 o'clock. And then Sal and I will be doing the earlier part of the show for the NASCAR and Race Talk Review of this weekend starting at 8:30 p.m. So, again, James, thank you so much for being here. We miss you, Jay, and we'll look forward to being back on our normal schedule next week. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate each and every one of you. I think we're going to call that a wrap, James.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thank you so much for having me.
It was a pleasure. Take care now.
Thank you.